and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is the founder of Eagle View Ministries and our dear friend, Bobby Connor. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo De La Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from their home in the Ozarks, here's your hosts, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker.
Yes.
We're excited to have Prophet Bobby Connors back with us, one of our longtime friends.
That's right.
And advisors. And
he is
truly a prophet.
Absolutely.
To this world right
he
now.
He really is.
And we had a great show yesterday.
We had so much fun with you yesterday, Bobby, on the broadcast. You just fed us the word of
yes.
God and gave us so many answers to the questions that we all have right now.
Has the nation gone past that tipping point? Can you answer that?
Yes, and what's the results of that, going past the tipping point? It's put us under the correcting judgment of God. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto the nation that finds it easy to call good evil and evil good, that substitutes bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's what's happened. We've just seemed like we've lost common sense, and we're under the correcting hand of God. Now, that's we don't like it, but that's what's taking place. And it's a good thing when you look at it, because God chastens and corrects those that he loves. And he says, if you be without chastisement, you're illegitimate. You have no birth papers. But God loves America too much to leave us in the condition that we drifted off in, where we call evil good and good evil. And look at the media and the movies. And it's just crazy. It seems like we tried to do everything we could as a nation to drive God out. And I'm telling you, he's going to correct us, but it's good for us. The psalmist said it this way: "It is good for me that I be afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And we really need to, I think the whole cure for the curse that we're under is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, God said, "If I send a plague," and then 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." I believe, honestly, to be quite honest, I believe there's more prayer going on now than there was prior to the pandemic, prior to all the stuff that we're going through. And I'm sad that it took something like that to drive us to the Lord. We need to enjoy the presence of God. Once the Lord Jesus appeared to me, and he was sad. And Jesus is not sad. He's the happiest man ever lived. In his presence is fullness of joy. But he appeared to me right in front of me and said, "Bobby, my people don't like to talk to me." He said the least attended service in any church is prayer meeting. And then he said, with almost a twinkle, a glee in his eye, he said, "But I'm going to give you a phrase. I'm going to give you a statement that'll turn prayer from a drudgery to delight, from a duty to a desire." And I said, "Lord, I want it. I want you to give me a phrase that's going to change the paradigm about prayer in America." And he said, "You tell my people what true prayer is. True prayer is an audience with the King." Think about that. That when he said that to me, it shook me. I wrote a whole book about it. The audience with the King. Can you imagine Almighty God, the creator of the ends of the world, invites us to come into his presence anytime, day or night, any place, any reason. Let our requests be made known unto God. It is amazing that God has given us the privilege of prayer. And, you know, the devil, he's doing everything he can to keep Christians from praying, because he knows prayerless Christians are powerless Christians. Prayer brings power, and power brings change. And so God wants us to pray without ceasing. He wants us to realize prayer is an audience with the King, and we can bring our prayers before the Lord and our requests before the Lord and really understand he hears us, he understands him, and he can move on our behalf. And so prayer is very important. But you ask the question of, have we reached a tipping point? Yes, we have, but it's going to turn out good. Because the calamities, the pandemics, the problems we're facing, it shows us we need God. but he's a very present help in the time of trouble. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Here's how it starts. You ready? God is good. Now, let's just stop right there. You say, oh, Bobby, that's so elementary. But now let's break it down. God is good. I'm glad it didn't say God's going to be good or God was good. God is good. Right now, in the present moment you're going through, God is good. And the Bible said he is a very present help in the time of trouble, and he knows those that are trusting him. Prayer plugs us into this resource of power, and it energizes us. Prayer will change you. I promise you that. Here's what Billy Graham said. You ready? Billy Graham, I put it in the book. Here's what he said. Before you can get a nation back on their feet, you must first get them on their knees. I believe that. I believe we've got to pray. If we don't pray, prayer is learned not in the prayer is really learned in the closet. Matthew 6:6 says, when you seek the Lord, get in the quietest room of your house, shut the door, and that's when you can really, really seek him. But to answer your question, yes, our nation has gone past a tipping point, but God is doing all of that. Now, one thing I want to say to you, God is not up there wringing his hands going, I never saw this coming. God is Almighty God. There's a time, a season, a purpose for every activity of God under heaven, Ecclesiastes 3:1. God is going to do things, and he's going to do things to help us, not to hurt us. And it's always, when he corrects us, it's out of discipline of love. He doesn't try to beat up on us. He's doing it trying to get us to walk the straight and the narrow. He knows wickedness is a wreck to any generation. I'll tell you one thing I think God is calling his saints to do is Isaiah 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1, it says, arise and shine. But I like it out of the Amplified Classic. Listen to what it says. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a newness of life. Shine the radiance with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness, deep, dense darkness will cover the earth. And all the people but the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your brightness of your shining. It's time for the saints of God to arise and shine. It's not time to go, oh, man, I'll be glad when this is over. I never. No, in the midst of all of this, we're going to shine bright. We're going to be beacons of hope. Hebrews 10:35 says, do not fling away your hope. That's what the devil's after. He's wanting you to be hopeless. God will never leave you hopeless. Hebrews 10:35 says, do not fling away from you your hope, your steadfast confidence in God, because your steadfast confidence in God brings with it a great recompense of reward. The devil's going to do everything he can to get you so depressed, so despondent, so despairing till you just go, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what, when you don't know what to do, turn to the Lord. In Psalms 107, verse 23, there's some sailors out on a ship. It said, these men that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord, because he, the Lord, raises up the stormy winds. It lifts up the ship as high as the heavens. It drops it down as low as the depths. And it says, these seasoned sailors stagger to and fro. They're like drunken men. And then here's the phrase, they are at their wit's end. You ever been there? It's a journey every one of us have to take. We have to get to the place where we've expended, expired, expelled every bit of our expertise, but nothing's changed. They're at their wits' end. These big seasoned sailors, Psalms 107, verse 23, they're at their wits' end. The next verse is paramount. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he hears them, and he brings them out of all of their distresses and brings them into a safe, calm haven. Now listen, God started that storm not to hurt those sailors, but to show them how bad they needed him. And I'll tell you what, sometimes even in a nation, we get proud and haughty and arrogant and we go, well, but let me tell you what the deal is. We've learned. Now, here's what I ask the Lord. I believe that you and I, Jim, I believe we're living in the most crucial time in human history. I don't believe you can look through the pages and find a more critical, crucial time for our nation than this one. And look who he's let live. He's let you and I live and people like us. I said, Lord, what were you thinking? Why would you let us live in such a crucial hour? And here's what he said. He said, yep. That's what he said to me. Yep. God talks Texican. Yep. I finally found me a people weak enough to work in. Wow. I finally found me a people weak enough to work in. Not weak in morals, not weak in character, not weak in conduct, weak in our own ability. He said, I found me a generation that's embraced John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing. But with him, through him, in him, by him, we're unstoppable. We cannot be defeated. I want you and I to take the lids of limitation off and realize we got to work while it's day. The night comes when nobody can work. This is the time to arise and shine. This is not a time to hide in the corner and go, well, you know. No, we're supposed to tell the good news. We got good news. I don't know why we think the gospel is really, it's called good news. And if you look at it in the Greek, good news means the good news that causes people to jump up and down with joy. I tell you, I've never met any Christian that said the worst thing I ever did was give my heart to Jesus. No, the best thing ever happened to any of us was the time we gave our heart to Christ. When Colossians 1:13 said he translates us out of the kingdom of death and darkness into the kingdom of light and love. Colossians 1:13, best transaction in the whole universe. We're out of the kingdom of the devil and into the kingdom of God, all because of the finished work of Christ. It says it pleased the Father that the fullness of deity would dwell in Jesus Christ permanently. Isn't that cool? I like that. Jesus is not second to anyone. He's King of kings and he's Lord of lords, and the world's about to see that. We're going through some dark times, but this time we're going to have a mighty awakening and a revival like we've not seen before. The devil meant all this for bad. John 10:10 says the thief, the devil, comes only for to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have effervescent life, happy life. And that's what's going to happen. The devil meant it for bad. God's going to turn it for good. See, if the devil knew what he's doing, he'd have never crucified Jesus Christ. It says, that's what it says. He would have never crucified the Prince of Glory had he known. See, Jesus Christ is not victim, he's victor upon the cross. Remember what he cried out? It's finished. I am so glad he didn't go, I'm finished. He said, it's finished. That's a farming term. It means everything should have been done, is totally done. Nothing's left undone that needed to be done. I'm telling you, God is author and finisher, not author and oops. You ever started a project and go, oh. God's not that way. He always finishes what he starts. I'm going to give somebody a word. I'm going to give somebody a word that's just hanging on by little threads of hope. Here it is, Philippians 1:6. This is for you. It'll go straight into your spirit, and you'll be as strong as a bear. Here it is, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, he that hath begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. God's going to finish what he started. He that started a good work in you is going to complete it. I'm telling you guys, that's going to encourage some people, and I'm going to encourage people to hold on to hope. This is not a time to stay in the darkness. Get in the light. Let the light shine upon you and then shine. You don't light a candle and stick it under a bed. You'll burn up your bed. You light a candle and put it on a candlestick. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about these days. One of the things, Jim, I think we need to do during this time that we're in this tipping point is we got to do what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And look what it says. Romans 13, starting with verse 11 through verse 14, actually. And here's what it says. It says that knowing what a critical hour this is, how that it is high time now for us to rise up, to wake up and rouse to reality. For final salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed and hereto trusted in Christ the Messiah. And it says we need to walk with goal aim and purpose and don't have any unfruitful works of darkness. And it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. Verse 13 says, let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day, not in reveling and carousing and drunkenness or immorality and debauchery, sensuality and lasciviousness. Not in quarreling and jealousy, but verse 14 says, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo. It says in the book of Judges that God clothed Gideon with himself. Woo. That doesn't mean God put Gideon on Gideon. It means God clothed Gideon with himself. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You know why? Gideon had a poor perception of who he was. God called him Gideon. Gideon means victorious warrior. That's what his name means. But he didn't think he's a victorious warrior. You read Judges chapter 6. Gideon, he's down in the wine press, kind of do some wine, because get some grain shucked and harvested there and threshed down in a wine press because the enemy had come to steal and rob and pillage, and he's afraid. And Jesus meets with him. It says, the angel of the Lord. Anytime you find in the Old Testament, angel of the Lord, it's a pre-incarnate visit from Jesus Christ. So Jesus appeared to him in the wine vat, and he says, "Hello there, you victorious warrior." And oh no, Gideon didn't go, "Yes, yes, that's who I am." He goes, "No, you must be mistaken. I'm from Manasseh, and Manasseh is the smallest tribe in all of Israel. And besides that, my family is the smallest and the weakest family in Manasseh. And besides that, I'm the weakest one in my family." I'll tell you what you're going to find out. The prophets, the voice of the prophets are going to shake away this spirit of deception, telling the body of Christ they can't do anything. You can do things. You're created to be a world changer. God created you for this time in history. And I'm telling you, it's time to arise and shine. It's not a time to be, oh, man. Oh, it's a time to be bold and brave and very courageous. It's time to change the culture instead of the culture changing you. And it'll happen. I'll tell you, inside of you, there's the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to show up and show off. But anyway, that Romans chapter 13 says that knowing what a critical hour is, that it's high time to rouse to reality. And I believe sometimes the church needs a reality check because, you know, a few years ago, everybody was soaking. Listen, I'm all for soaking. I'm all for Psalms 46, 10, 11, be still and know that I am God. But why soak if we're not going to pour ourselves out? You know, how long can we soak? Let's get out. Let's get out in the harvest field. Jesus said, "Don't say this 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the harvest fields. They're ripening already under harvest." Let me tell you about that. I'll hold up a little book, little bitty paperback book here, Harvest Time. I'll tell you where this book came from. My team and I had been in Bulgaria. And we went stopped by Moscow, Russia, and Billy Graham was doing his famous sports stadium stadium meeting there. Thousands and thousands of people got born again. Well, my team and I are flying out of Moscow down to Vienna, and we're on a cheap flight. We're on the peanut section. And somebody looked up there, and sitting in the peanut section with us was Billy Graham. No entourage, nobody to carry. He tried to carry my wife's luggage. Nobody to carry his luggage. And so I go up there to talk to him. Billy Graham and I, that's where this book came from. Harvest Time is short. I'm standing in the aisle 33,000 feet between Moscow and Vienna, Austria, talking to the premier, at that time, the premier evangelist of the world, Billy Graham. And I said, "Dr. Graham, God Almighty has shown me that he's going to use signs, wonders, and miracles to win an end time harvest." And he looked at me and said, "Son, I believe every word of that." Then he put his hand right here on my shoulder. He said, "Let me tell you something about Harvest Time. I was reared on a farm, and one thing I know about Harvest Time, it's short." Then he quoted that verse out of John. "Say, don't say there's 4 months and then comes harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields that's white and ripe and ready, already for harvest." So listen, Harvest Time is short, but you and I need to get busy about winning people to Jesus Christ, don't we? Jesus Christ is what? The way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you, so I'm excited about being excited, and I don't want you to be down in the dumps. I want you to be bold and brave and very courageous, okay?
Okay, amen. That sounds good.
Amen. You know, if somebody doesn't know the Lord right now, Bobby, would you just lead them and help them understand how to know him?
I sure will. That'll be a delight. The Bible says all of us are born in sin. The Bible said we're born in sin, and the Bible said the wages of sin is death. That doesn't mean we just die and be put in a coffin. It's far deeper than that. It means eternal separation from God. That's what sin does. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. All of us have. It doesn't matter about who we are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That means we're separated from God in a horrible place called hell for all eternity. God doesn't want that. God does not want people to perish and go to hell. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And here, you say, "Bobby, I don't know how." Here it is. Number one, you recognize you're lost. Recognize your way is not the right way, that you need a Savior. You can't save yourself. And that's where Jesus came in. Jesus Christ came and paid the debt for our sin by dying for us up on the cross. The Bible said we're not redeemed, we're not saved with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Jesus paid the price for our sins. And here's what it says. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, he will come into you. Ask him to save you, and he'll save you. All that come to him, he'll in no wise cast out. I am so excited to tell you that when you repent and ask Jesus to come into your heart, he'll save you. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he'll put his spirit in your heart. And then he's got a purpose and a plan for you for the whole rest of your life. And he'll be a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. I tell you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he stands ready to step into your heart. So don't say, well, it's too complicated. No. He said, you tell people, if they've got enough sense to get back to their house, they have enough sense to get saved. And so I pray that you will open your heart to Christ and ask him to come in and then begin to live your life for him. Find a Bible-believing church, get into the Word of God, and get around other Christians and enjoy Jesus.
This is so good, Bobby, what you just said. And I just want to let everybody know, if you don't have a Bible or there's somebody that you know that doesn't have a Bible, believe it or not, some people don't. We have an amazing offer of our Restoration Bible, this Bible right here that I use all the time on the set and in my room. But I will tell you that the Restoration Bible we have available for you for a gift to the ministry of $40.
Those are $100 Bibles.
Yes, and I'm just saying, Bobby just said it. You got to get into the Word, find a Bible-believing church, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. It talks about it in Isaiah 59. And it talks about, you know, how your iniquities have made you a separation between God. So the Restoration Bible offer.
That's right. You'll receive one of the Restoration Bibles, which is the giant print, and then we're going to send you a free tan Bible with the MEV version. We'll send you a free Bible that you can hand out, pass out to those, your loved ones, and that's for a $40 donation to the ministry.
Right.
We want to make sure
that if you don't have a Bible, get one. If you know somebody that needs a Bible, give it to them.
Yes.
You know, give them the Word of God. It's
yes.
most important. Okay.
Yeah, it is. We've got to hide it in our hearts.
And like if you Bobby has.
To give stuff to your children and your grandchildren,
yeah,
you must start giving them the Word.
Yeah. Right.
They must have the Word. Amen. They must have the Word.
I want to tell you something. It's so important what you just said, because there's a headline right now that Amazon is removing quietly books. They're saying, this is the murmuring below the sea, someone said, right, is that the Bible is next. After the Bible, personal materials are next. And that's a straight shot to what we do, how we survive as ministries. And one of the men that we love, I'm trying to get him on the show, is the CEO of Goya Products. And he's saying there's a war to remove God from our country, because we're seeing right now, right before our eyes, this type of material, this type of products are disappearing without notice.
We're about to open expand the home shopping network.
That's right.
The faith-based home shopping network. And we just want to have a place where people can get Bibles and books.
Amen.
And all the things. And we need your support. Never thought I'd see the day where it would be warfare to preach the gospel, but it is warfare to preach the gospel.
Absolutely. There's another headline just tells you the thermostat of where we are right now. Is America a Christian nation? ? Pastors at odds about fusion of faith and politics. And this article goes into where we are according to the church. And the church right now is fighting its own. There's 500 pastors that are pro-abortion that are standing to remove those pastors and ministries that support life. That's the warfare that you're seeing, not only in the church, but the world is watching how the church is going to respond to this cancel culture. And what Prophet Bobby said yesterday, I hope you go back and DVR it. I hope you go back and download it. Go to ptlnetwork.com, or you can go to Roku, download our channel, go to Apple TV, go to our app. We're trying to make it possible for you to get the program. But what he said is so powerful that we're seeing it right before our eyes. This prophetic events are being displayed on the news. But book banning in the age of Amazon, the world's largest bookstore begins quietly deleting books. I don't have time to go into that, but the reason why is because if you stand for marriage and you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, you are removed. If any of your content of your books have anything other than that, it's called hate speech already. So they're slowly trying to remove those, and they're being very successful right now. And that is the warfare. This is what Prophet said yesterday. we have to stand strong.
Yes, yeah. Amen.
Bobby, what must the prophets do right now in the light of this information?
All right. I think one of the greatest needs right now is to awake the church. Actually, we need to wake up the pastors. There's pastors that go, well, you know, there's no real urgency to it. No, there is an urgency. We are in the end of time. We're in the time, getting into the time of the end and the end of time. And that's when the seeds of good and evil both come to full fruit. And we're going to be facing demons and principalities and powers we've not seen before. But I'm telling you from God, God is ready to send the heaven's host to help us. I'm absolutely 1,000% sure of that on this Day of Atonement for 2021. I'm sitting there waiting. The sun is just coming down, going down. This is when the shepherd's rods happen, and it's just going down. The sun is. I'm sitting on my back porch in Moravian Falls, North Carolina, and the sunset is beautiful. There's a golden glow to the sun going in down the mountains there in the western skies. And here's what happened. This so quiet, it's super quiet, like a vacuum. And then all of a sudden, Jim, I hear what sounded like Huey helicopters, you know, loud. I mean, loud, right above me. And I looked up, and I didn't see a Huey helicopter. I saw angel forces, army of angels. And they're ready to come and become activated with us if we'll stand for truth. And I'm telling you, angels are ministering spirits sent down to aid us who are the heirs of salvation. Once I got caught up into heaven, now I'll get back on your question. I got caught up into heaven, and they had these great warring angels. I don't know. They looked like they could be at least 50 feet tall, massive angels. And here I am. I'm in the courts of heaven. There's these massive angels, and I thought it. I didn't say it. I thought it. I thought to myself, you know, they're standing too far apart. Ooh. When I thought that, every one of these mighty angels, they look like this, down at me with a gaze you couldn't imagine. They look down at me like, who do you think you are to try to instruct us? My thought was, I think they're standing too far apart. They gaze down just like this, and then they turn back like that. And so help me, it's breathtaking. I can feel it right now while I'm talking to you. Shoo! They threw out their wings like this. Just massive wings, and one wing touched the other angel's wings. But under the wings, it was not pinions and feathers. It was like sharp razors of laser light. And here's what's going to happen. These angels are going to come, and they're going to cut pathways through the darkness. Remember, it says deep, dense darkness will cover the nations. Whoosh! These angels will cut pathways through the darkness, and that's when the church will advance. And we've got to walk in the light as he's in the light. And I tell you what, Jim, this is the most exciting time in human history to be alive. And you said something a while ago that's so very imperative and important. We're forging the future our grandchildren will walk in. And here's what God's offering the grandparents right now. It's Isaiah 44:3-4. Isaiah 44:3-4 says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants, and they will spring up like willows by a fertile river. See, if we're hungry, if we're desperate, if we've got a heart for God, it comes back to our lineage line. And I'm telling you, Psalms 112, verse 2 said, the offspring of the upright will be mighty in the earth. But I like this one. He said, I pour my spirit upon your offspring, your descendants, and they'll spring up like willows by a firm river. Over and over in the Bible, God talks about our lineage line. He talks about our children. He talks about our children's children. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and our descendants from now on. Oh, that's why it's so important to get into truth. That's why it's so important to have this prophetic hall. This is why it's so important for the people to get the Bible, get it into their homes. Because listen, God wants the children. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our descendants from now on. Deuteronomy 29:29. So I tell you, we're living in perilous, precarious times, but these times have not caught God off guard. He's raising up an army that'll take a stand. He's raising up an army out of the book of Jude. Out of the book of Jude, Jude said, I picked up my pen. I was going to write to you concerning the common salvation, not common in like ABC, but the rudimentary principles of Christianity. That was his intent. But he said, actually, it says in Greek, I was possessed. I found it needful that I'd write unto you that you would earnestly contend for the faith. You and I are going to have to defend truth and defend the faith, because certain men have crept in unawares teaching. It doesn't matter how you live. It does matter how you live. That's one thing I like about Jim and Lori. They want truth. They want truth to spout out from this fountain that God has given them there. And I'm telling you, it's worthy of your support. I mean that, because the devil wants to muzzle. He doesn't mind limp wrist pretending Christianity. That doesn't shake up the devil. It's those that know who they are, and they know who their God is. But the people that do know their God, they will display strength, and they will take action, Daniel 11, 32b. And that's why the devil, he doesn't mind these little preachers that don't know anything. You know, I'm just a socialistic, I'm just here, No, Lord, listen, God's raising warriors, and we need, as the priests, so the people. If we've got a bunch of cowardly preachers, we'll have a bunch of cowardly sheep in the flock there. We got to be bold and brave, very courageous. We got to take a stand for God, because God is standing on us and standing for us if we'll stand for Him.
I'm overwhelmed when you get into the angels. I'm a believer in angels, but Lori and I have visited Moravian Falls, and I've been there with you. Tell us a little bit about the supernatural at Moravian Falls.
Here's why there's such the Moravians have had a 100-year prayer meeting, 24 hours a day for 100 years. Now, years ago, I was in Texas, a Baptist preacher, never heard of Zinzendorf, never heard of Herrnhut, and the Lord said, I want you to take your television camera, I want you to go to Herrnhut, Germany, and find Zinzendorf's grave. I didn't know a thing of Zinzendorf, the guy that started the Moravian movement. I didn't know nothing about none of that. Never heard of Moravian Falls, never heard of Rick Joyner, never heard of any of that stuff. But I did hear from God. He said, Terry, take your television camera, go to Herrnhut, Germany, and find Zinzendorf's grave. I got my television camera. I took off to Herrnhut, found Herrnhut, found Zinzendorf's grave. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. I got a high definition camera, and you have to have light for them. And I'm found his grave, and the Lord said, "Fim his grave." And I said to the Lord, "It's too dark." God said, "Fim the grave." And it's a concrete vat above the ground, and I'm filming his grave like this. And then the Lord said, "Go over there and sit on a rock fence." Still just daylight, just getting daylight outside of Herrnhut. And so I'm over on a rock fence, and I hear something coming very quietly, and I look. And it's an old man, and he's got a little hat on, and he's got his coat on, and he's kind of bent over like this, and he's shuffling, and he shuffles all the way. The Lord said, "Fim this man." The man don't even see me. I'm over there on the rock wall, fimming him, and the old man comes. He takes his cap off, puts it under his arm, and apparently is praying, and then he prays for a little while, puts his cap back on, and shuffles off the trail. The Lord said, "Fim him," and I'm going, "This is too dark." And as he's going up the trail, he just before he gets to out of range, the sun comes up over the ridge, and the heat from the sun just kind of burns him out of the picture. I said, "Lord, what is this about?" He said, "I brought you here because I'm going to resurrect the Moravian ministry." And I thought, okay. And the next thing I know, we're told, my wife and I, Carolyn and I, we're told to move to Moravian Falls. And we moved to Moravian Falls, and they kicked the heavens on period. This is where the Moravians came when they came into America. And they kicked the open heaven here. And so we're here because God has got a portal. You believe in portals, don't you? Revelations 4:1 says, "And after this, I heard a voice that said, come up here. And I looked, and there was a door, a gate, a portal standing open in heaven." Wow. When I first came here, a man asked my wife, he said, "Do you think if I built a cabin, Bobby'd come stay in the cabin?" She said, "I don't know. You'll have to ask him." And he asked me, and I said, "I don't know. I'll have to ask Jesus." So I said, "Lord, do you want him to build me a cabin?" He said, "Yeah." So the man built a cabin, just a small little cabin down here in Moravian Falls in the mountains. Wasn't other buildings around then. And finally, the cabin's finished, and we're going to have a night to dedicate the cabin. So we're standing there, me and the man. That's only two of us there, no other people around on the mountain. And I've got him by the hands, and we're praying. dedicating the cabin. No other human beings have been there. And all of a sudden, you hear steps, heavy steps going up the stairs behind us. And we're the only two people there. He squeezes my hand so hard. He said, I got to go home, hadn't I? I said, yes. So I let him go. He almost runs to his pickup, gets in, boom, he's gone. Now it's just me. It's on a November night, Moravian Falls, mountains. I got me a fire burning in the fireplace there. And I sat on the couch, and I'm alert because nobody's ever been there. This is brand new. And I hear a noise out on the porch, front porch. And this is all true. Don't lie in church. I open the door, and so help me. Out on the porch are angels, 14 to 18 of them, but they were dressed like pilgrims. See, that's how the Moravians were. And these angels had been there from the Moravian movement, and they would jump off the porch, jump in the swing, and all of that. And I'm watching them, and I'm actually playing around with these angels. And man alive, it's amazing. And they could jump off the porch, jump back on, they could swing, and they were just amazing. And all of a sudden, they got quiet and they were gone. Oh, man. I go back in, sit down on the couch, and I beat myself up. I said, you're so dumb. You should have been inquiring of those angels instead of out there playing with them. And I was beating myself up, and Jim, a knock came at the door, wham, 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 on my front door in this little cabin. Oh, my heart jumped up into my throat. And I said with a squeaky voice like a young girl, come in. And a voice said, no, you must come out. And so help me God. I walked to the door of that cabin and I opened the door. There stands Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's standing there. He's got a bottle in his hand. Looks like a champagne bottle or something like that. And he said to me, standing at the door, we're going to have a christening service, but you don't know anything about christening. And he walked right by me, didn't stop in the fireplace room, didn't stop down the hall, turned down, went to the bedroom, took the bottle and swung it and hit the wall just like that. And when he did, the bottle burst and oil came running out down the wall like this. And I thought, man, how am I going to explain to the man that built this cabin the first night I've been here, the wall's destroyed? When I thought that, Jesus wheeled around and rebuked me. He said, you never have to apologize or attempt to explain what I do. Look at the wall. I looked at the wall, and it had turned into a war map, like the war map. And there was all the different nations and highlighted. And Jesus Christ would take his finger and touch a nation, and it would light up. And he said, you can only target what I target, or you'll become a target. And so Moravian Falls, angels are really, really real. Matter of fact, they're so real, I wrote a book about them. Look here. Heaven's host, angels, the faithful and the fallen. So I write about angels and demons in this book. I write about those encounters we have with angels. I was out on my porch typing on a book, and I had wind chimes. And boy, the trees were beautiful up here. When the leaves turned, they're absolutely gorgeous. I'm out on the front porch in Moravian Falls typing on this book, and the wind's dancing through the trees, mystic. And the wind chimes are chiming and making this wonderful sound. Then all of a sudden, I realized I didn't hear the chimes. I looked at the trees. They're still dancing in the breeze. And I looked over there at the wind chimes. It's about 12 feet or 15 feet off the ground. And an angel is standing in the air holding my wind chimes just like this so they can't chime. And he looks at me where I'm sitting like, got your attention? Like that. And then he turned loose the wind chimes and so help me. The wind chimes begin to play the song, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. And then the angel spoke to me and said, tell the body of Christ, they'll learn more about the majesty of the master from the book of Colossians than any other book in the Bible right now. And so that's when I started really recording what the angels say. They're here to help us, not hurt us, and they're powerful and they're strong, and they cannot tolerate our passivity and our you know, just lackadaisicalness. Listen, they understand we got to work while we can, because the time's coming when no man can work again. But angels are real. This is Heaven's Host, the faithful and the fallen, the assignment of angels. And I tell about them. I tell about their names. I tell about the ranks they've got. And so if you can, you can look at on our webpage and get Heaven's Host, the assignment of angels, of both faithful and the fallen. Okay, so anyway, Moravian Falls, we love being here. We love what God's doing. It's a marvelous time.
You know, Lori and I have been there many times to Moravian Falls because we went to a round table where Rick Joyner and all, they prayed that we would have angelic visits that night.
Yes.
And you had
a
supernatural.
Yes, because like Bobby, because Bobby's sharing his story, his testimony, and it really, I really wanted that so bad, and God gave it to me, you know? I mean, maybe not in the way I was wanting it, but the way that he wanted me to have it. And I spoke it out loud in my sleep, and Jim listened to everything. He was awake. And so then I got up, when I woke up in the morning, I thought I woke up, I was really kind of awake, and because I was having a beautiful angelic visitation by a host of heavenly angels. And you, Jim, I said, honey, I got to tell you, the angels have visited me. They've given me, God's given me this visitation. And he said, oh no, let me tell you. And he told me word by word, verbatim, what the
she was
angel
talking
visitation.
To the angels that I listened in on it.
Yes.
And the prophets had all prayed around the round table that night that we would have angelic visits. And it was supernatural.
Right.
And you saw what we were building here, the school.
I did. I saw.
And the building. Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. And when you came to the first part of the construction, mm-hmm. you said, oh my God, I saw this.
This is what's for this.
This is what the angel showed you.
That's right. The tabernacle.
And our students on their face before God, and he said, this is what he wanted. You know, he wanted the students to you know, be on their faces before God.
So I want to thank
you. Supernatural. I just want people to know the angels watch over us.
That's right.
And that we have supernatural. And
I mean, through all of this, it's so real. Angels are so real. And through all of this, and I want to thank you, Bobby, for sharing your testimony, not just with me, I mean with the whole world, because it really helps people to say, you know, I want something like this, God. If it's your will to have an angel visitation, then let it be. And you never know what God's going to do.
Is it all right to believe in angels? Is it all right to pray that God would send angels to take care of you or to protect us in these last days?
Yes, yes, it's perfectly all right. Psalms 91:11 says his angels will take charge around us. They'll guard us and guide us and protect us. And remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, angels came and ministered to him. And I'm telling you over and over, in this angels book, I write what they do for us. I list after list after list of what angels do for the saints of God. And it's amazing. I'm telling you, they're real. The spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. Paul said, what we look at that we see is temporary. What we look at that you can't see is eternal. And we get so busy with looking at what we see till we forget to see with the eyes of our spirit. See, the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our spirit can see a lot further. Remember 2 Kings 6, 16, 17? The prophet and his servant was out, and a big army had surrounded them, and the young prophet gets up, and armies are everywhere, and he wakes up the prophet and says, oh, they're everywhere, look. And the prophet said, son, settle down. There's more that be with us than be with them. And I'm sure that his heifer was pretty good in math. He said, 1, 2. But now there's armies by the thousands out there. And the prophet prayed, oh, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And immediately the Bible said, his eyes were open and he could see into the heavenly realm, and there was great hosts of the armies of God there. And I'm telling you, those armies that were with the prophet is with us today. If we'll learn how to ascertain them and how to get them to be activated, they're not going to come and amuse us. They're going to activate us to take the ground. And they really are here to help us. And don't forget, every one of us have an angel. It says, that's what it says in the Bible. I hope they can get the book, because I'm telling you, we talk about it because God wants us to know about the spirit realm. The spirit realm is more real than the earthly realm. And we've got to learn how they blend together, and how we, instead of letting the earthly realm dominate, we've got to let the spirit realm dominate the earthly realm. And it's pretty important. So I'll just read a little bit off the back of this cover. Who are the heaven's hosts, and just what are they, the assignments of the angels, the both faithful and the faulting? In our modern-day society, many scoff at the reality of angels and demons, or even the existence of the supernatural. However, to remain uninformed concerning such issues could prove to be extremely costly. We need to know about what help is available for us. I don't want us to lose the fight because we don't realize we got champion warriors on our side, and they've never lost a battle. That's one thing. Paul said, fight the good fight. Now, I used to be a street fighter. You don't get the snot beat out of you and go, whoa, that's a good fight. The good fight's the one you win. And Paul said, fight the good fight. And God wants us to put up a fight for the things of God, not physical, but spiritual. And it's amazing. What a time to be alive. But, Jim, I'm glad that you're writing these books. The Lord Jesus appeared to me, and here's what he said. He said, Bobby, do you know what a printed word is? A printed word. Did his fingers like that. A printed word. And I said to the question was, Bobby, do you know what a printed word is? And I said to him, apparently not. And he said to me, a printed word is a thought you can see. You can put your thought on pen and paper, and people can see it and begin to grasp it, and it'll begin to be a part of them. A printed word is a thought you can see. So that's pretty profound, I think, don't you think? One time the Lord told me, he said, Bobby, the most profound thing you can do is maintain simplicity. That's one thing Jesus did. He dialed it down. How low did he dial it down? He said, except you become as a little child, you can't see or enter the kingdom. One of the things that will keep us out of really maturing is to think we've already arrived. One of the things the prophets need to do right now is like in the book of Joshua. It says, prepare the people. Get them ready. We've never been where we're going now. We're in some uncharted territory. And we need to get the strategies of heaven. Ecclesiastes 3 said there's a time, a season, a purpose for every activity of God under heaven. And God wants us to find out what he's doing and join him. Now, he wrote down things for us to do before we were us. Psalms 139, verse 15 says, our unformed substance was not hid from you when we were created in the secret parts. And it says, here it is, Psalms 139, verse 15, 16, says, all of our days are written in his book before we've ever lived a single one of them. I don't know about you, but that, I want to go, yes, destiny, purpose. There's a purpose for living, a destiny that only you can fulfill. Nobody else can fulfill it. And Psalms 139, verse 15, 16, and verse 17, all of our days are written in his book before we've ever lived a single one of them. Oh, isn't that amazing? See, now the devil will play with the believer's mind and say, well, you're insignificant. God doesn't care about you. Don't bug God with your prayers. He don't think about you. The devil's lying to you. Psalms 139, verse 18 says, God's thoughts towards us are weighty and precious. Look up the word weighty, same word for glorious. God's weighty, glorious thoughts towards us. The next verse says, they're more numerous than the sands on the seashore. So Almighty God, the creator of the ends of the earth, thinks constantly about you. He wrote down every day of your life before we ever lived a single one of them. I tell people, if you're going to be successful, make his journal become your journey. He wrote down every day. Find out what he wants you to do and join him in it. Now, I like it when God writes names down in books. Here's a verse that says, get a lot of your friends together, sit down, and talk about how much you love Jesus. God will take notice of it, and he will write your name in his book. What? That's in the Bible. Get your friends together. Sit down and talk about how much you love Jesus and what all he's done for you. God will take notice of it, and he'll write your name in his book. You say, where is that in the Bible? Malachi 3:16. That's where that's at. God writes your name. When he got born again, he writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. Wow. I'm telling you, God is up to something. I want to join him in it, and I want you to keep pumping out those books, pumping out teachings. And I'm telling you, God is after the harvest, and we got to be busy getting the word out. And we got to grow up the people of God. One thing I love about Jim Hoyer, they teach the word of God. I'm going to read it out of the Shepherd's Rod here. Here's what it says. We got to have a firm foundation because God didn't want us tossed to and fro. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. So that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth, like the ship on a stormy sea, and carried about with every wind of shifting doctrine by cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful schemings of people ready to do anything for personal gain. He said, I don't want my people ripped off. I want my people following the truth, loving the truth, living for the truth. And I don't want them tossed to and fro with every crazy thing. There's crazy doctrines out there, but more of the sound doctrine is there. And it says, preach the word, handle the word of God with integrity. And that's what I can say Jim does that. Lord, they teach the word of God, and they want you to understand the will of God and the ways of God. And that's very noble.
Amen.
So good.
You say that the book of Jude, the Amplified Version, provides good guidelines for contending for the faith. Can you explain that?
Yes. If you can find an Amplified Classic Version of the Bible, you can look at it on the web even. The book of Jude is a great, great tool to teach us to prepare to contend. The book of Jude. Now, if I'd have been the author of the book of Jude, I wouldn't have started Jude like he did. He said, Jude, a common bond slave, a bond servant of Jesus. I'd have started the book of Jude like this if I'd have been Jude. Hey, you better listen to me. I got some connections. How connected was Jesus to Jude? Jude and Jesus came out of the same womb. Yes, Jude is the biological half-brother of Jesus Christ. I would have pulled that card, but he didn't. He said, I'm a common bond slave of Jesus. Said, I picked up a pen. I was going to write to you about the common salvation, but I found it needful to write to you to get you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all given to the church because certain men have crept in. And he tells us how to take a stance, how to search out truth, how to find error and cancel out error with the truth, and how to really set the light of the Word of God. And the light of the Word of God will drive away the darkness. And he says, certain men are creepy in teaching. It doesn't matter what you believe. And Jude, and he says, right at the end of the book of Jude, it says, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up in the most holy faith. And that's what we got to do. So study the book of Jude. Jude, a common bond slave of Jesus Christ. And he said, I was going to just write to you about the rudimentary principles of salvation, but I found it needful. I was under compulsion. I couldn't stop it. I had to write to you that you'd put up a fight for faith. And I want you to study the book of Jude.
Wow. Amen. We're blown away.
Man, we're Bobby, so glad to have you here today.
Yes.
We have some news that's been breaking. Mondo, the number one thing that you and I have decided probably is that earthquakes are all throughout the Bible. And when I'm teaching the Revelation, they're all through there, and we're in that point right now. The part that I've just taught, the new tapes that we have, and we have those out, the last teachings of that. And tell us what's going on now in the news.
Yes, so we've been teaching about, you know, the markers of Revelation, and earthquakes are those markers that we talked about. And this is what what we're talking to Prophet Bobby, this is the breaking news. New Zealand earthquake, monster 7.3 quake sparked tsunami warnings. Move to higher ground was the word. Another one, 17,000 earthquakes hit Iceland in the past week. An eruption could be imminent. There's another one. Dozens of earthquakes occur over 45 minutes at Oregon's Mount Hood. Greece, frightening Greece, rocked by a huge 6.3 magnitude earthquake as shaking felt in Athens. We are seeing more activity with earthquakes since you started teaching the last few days than any other time. And this is unbelievable. This is another one. We started talking about volcanoes. Mount Etna, Europe's most active volcano, erupts 7 times in 2 weeks. This is another one. We're barely listening to the U.S. most dangerous volcanoes. 7 of the 10 most dangerous American volcanoes are within the Cascade Range, and 6 of those are not monitored. I'm talking about the volcanoes that we talked about the last few days. You can go and hear these teachings, but they are not being watched, which is so strange because you're watching the news and these volcanoes are actively working in the shaking in the Cascadia Range. It's shaking and it seems like they don't want to alarm you. They don't want to alarm us.
I'm not sure if the politicians are going to tell us when they do get the warnings.
Absolutely not. I do have a book. We have studied David Wilkerson, but in that book, maybe in the next few days, we'll bring it out.
Yeah.
But he prophesied of a major earthquake that will take the headlines by storm, and it will literally take away all the nonsense that we're talking about politics. It will become the number one headline that people will talk about in America.
I believe that's coming this year. I really do. I want the people to get this, share these books with their friends, share the videos.
That's right.
And then the whole video of all the teaching. This is my life's work.
Right.
That came out of the prison cell.
Yes.
Of word by word study of the book of Revelation. You get the whole teaching with video pictures of what's going to happen and what has already happened to prove what it's all about.
That's right.
And so what else do you have with that package for today?
Yes, as you mentioned, you get the Revelation Revealed, which is 14 DVDs, over 30 hours of teaching from the book of Revelation. We also are including This is the Revelation Generation,
yes,
as we discuss what will be the signs before the Lord's return in that four DVD series that we have just walked through and taught. You're also going to receive the Prosperity and the Coming Apocalypse book, Avoiding the Dangers of Materialistic Christianity in the End Times. And I believe one of the most important books, The Refuge, A Look into the Future and the Power of Living in a Christian Community. All of that, this is the Jim Baker's Essential Revelation Teaching Bundle for a donation of $150 to the ministry, and that includes shipping and handling.
It's excellent.
I hope you'll order now, right now. We're in the last days, and things are going to happen overnight. You're going to wake up one day, and one of the volcanoes have gone off, and that is going to change life as we know it, and especially the great volcano at
Yellowstone.
Yes.
Yellowstone, they tell me, the scientists tell us, that when that one goes, it will change the world, but it will, like a nuclear winter even.
Absolutely.
And what it will do to destroy for thousands of miles.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But we must be ready. God's judgment is here, but we're his people.
Amen.
And we're going to have victory as we follow him.
Amen.
And we're going to stand up.
Yes. Yeah,
amen.
And when the world is shaken, we should be preaching.
Yes.
That Jesus is coming back.
That's right.
That it's real. It's real. I know it's real.
Amen.
Well, we want to thank so much for Bobby Connors being here with
us
today.
Fabulous. Wow.
Time is gone. And boy, when television time is up, it's up. So God loves you. He really does. Please stand with us today and support the ministry to stay on the air.
Thank you, Bobby. We love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, JimBakerShow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.